Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would illuminate to our hearts old truths that are still relevant and will forever be relevant. And in this season, that, Lord, we would see more of your blessings show up in our lives and in this city. And because you've entrusted this city to us, I pray for those watching who are part of a different region, that their cities would be blessed as well, and that our nation collectively as a whole would be blessed as we, the righteous ones, take responsibility for this powerful thing you've given us called the tongue. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled the message tonight, Bless It. I could have called it Bless Them. Bless Them or Bless It. And this is from a little mini-series I wrote a few years ago in my Wisdom Love Letters. And some of my staff who got them every day may find some of this familiar. But I began to write a series called What on Earth Are You Saying? What on earth are you saying? You know that we have been called to say things on earth. The Lord gave us his very creative power and gave us the ability to speak. And that is such a huge responsibility that we have. It's a privilege. But it's such a huge responsibility that we have to get the work of heaven done on earth. Do you know speaking is a responsibility? And it's not just for Pastor Verna. Speaking is a responsibility of every person. God created Adam and Eve to speak, and to speak well, to speak blessing over their children. And you know, in it was customary in the Hebrew tradition for the father to speak a blessing over his children. And he started with the firstborn, and that was a huge thing. When you got the father's blessing, man, that was it. It set the trajectory for your whole life. If you didn't get the father's blessing, you were messed up. And so the blessing is a very important thing. Mother Didi taught so profoundly and beautifully on this a few years ago. And one of the things that she brought out is that the smallest particle in the universe, which I've talked about as well from Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, is made up of two things, light and sound. And where'd that come from? It came from the Lord himself, the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word began to speak. He couldn't keep the Word in him. He had to start speaking, and what did he do? He spoke words, and what was the first thing he said? Let there be light, sound and light. Everything else was created from that particle. Think about that. And even when he took the dirt and began to form man, and he breathed life into man, that dirt had been created with sound and light. Sound. The earth needs your sound. I'm going to say that again. The earth needs your sound. Not just the dirt, but the land needs your sound. The people, the inhabitants of the land, the walking dirt that's on the dirt needs your sound. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. So there's some repentance that needs to take place, but healing of the land happens as the righteous began to use their voice to bless instead of curse. What we speak, and I said this Sunday, what we talk about comes about. And there's a responsibility that we have, I believe, after a year and now going into year and a half or more, of fear, of political drama, of hate, of division. And this isn't just in the last year and a half. This has been decades coming. But amid COVID and all of the fear and all of the death talk, and some of it is a reality, but we as believers can't buy into everything that's being said about us and to us and rise up in power and use the responsibility of speech to turn things around if we are not intentional. Amen? This message actually started to come to me long before COVID came on the scene, because I was listening to people, and even myself. I catch myself. How many of you catch yourself being negative? Yeah. And I had seen a post by someone that I love and honor, who was visiting my city and put a post up on social media that really hurt my feelings and it bothered me. But he was like, he said some things I will not mention about the area, and then referred to it as, which we've all heard, Methdesto, right? In addition to other things. And I was so grieved because he's a believer. If we're trying to get meth out of Modesto, we don't want to call our city by something that we are trying to eradicate. And it was just speaking drug addiction and attaching this drug that is killing so many people's lives to a city. You know, here we've got Love Modesto signs out, and then we've got believers putting up posts that the city we love is called Methdesto. This should not be. So I became righteously indignant, not at the individual, but at the ignorance. Because this is my city. I was born here. I was raised here. And my legacy is being developed and will be left here, to my children and to all of you, to carry the baton forward. And there are good things, God things, that are coming out of Modesto, the city of humility. Jesus came out of the city of Nazareth. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? People are saying, can anything good come out of Modesto? And I want to tell you this. Yes, something good can come out of Modesto, because revival is being birthed in this city. There are believers here that have been contending for many, many years. And we mustn't just join in with the prevailing idea. Look, many cities have drug addiction and alcoholism and prostitution and witchcraft and all of these things. But if we start labeling our city by the problems instead of the solutions, we are perpetuating something that we're actually praying against. So I began to go into warfare mode, and I began to rebuke the enemy and destroy these word curses that have been spoken against my city. And I want to encourage you to do so as well. You have been given the power to break a word curse in the name of Jesus and render it null and void. And then take that particle, as Mother Dede taught, if walls could speak. You know, the truth is that walls can speak. The earth can speak. The earth, your body, these chairs, they're all filled with particles of light and sound things that have been said. That's why when you go in certain houses, you feel the prayers that have been in that place. You feel the presence of God. You go in other places and you feel the demonic. Your spirit starts to be very agitated. Why? Because of the things that have been said there. Those words are still resting. They're resting in the soil. They're resting on the people. And you discern that as an intercessor and as a prophetic person. And I want to encourage you in this city and in this season, with so much soul-winning word going forth and prayers that have been prayed for years, pulling people into this region to receive Jesus and to receive healing. I want to encourage you to rise up in your house and stop talking about what the evening news is saying about the death statistics and everything else that is going on, and stand up and start defying the voices that have gotten a hold of the airwaves and got a hold of the political systems and got a hold of media, and start saying, not in my home. Even if I need to turn this off, this house is blessed. This land is blessed. My children are blessed. This city is blessed. Because the Bible says that it is by your blessing that will make the city prosperous and great. Think about that. By your blessing, you will make the city prosperous and great. You know, this works in everything. By your blessing, you will make your children prosperous and great. By your blessing, you will make your church prosperous and great. If we could just get Christians to stop talking negative and in a toxic manner about one another and start talking the way that God told us to talk, and that is bless. He didn't just say bless your family and the ones you love. He said bless even your enemies too. Why? Because if you bless and there's nowhere for it to land, it comes back upon you. You're actually helping yourself. Correct, if they don't are not a place to receive it, but think about what it does to your soul when you are speaking blessing and praying for those that persecute you. You know how hard that is? You persecuted me. Oh, I'm going to bless your little heart. You know, but true, bless. If we could learn that, for that to be our default, you just cussed at me. Well, I'm going to bless you. You know, you got the one finger blessing going down the road. You just give them the five-finger blessing and say, hello, God bless you, praise the Lord. You know what you did? You just invited Jesus into your car and you just blessed. So let me give you scripture now. Proverbs, and it's one of my favorite 111 scriptures. Proverbs 11, 10, verse 11 through verse 11 says, when good, and when you look at this in other translations, it says, when righteous people are successful, the whole city is happy. And they all shout with joy when evil people are destroyed. Solomon must have been having a day. And then in verse 11, he says this, blessings from the honest people living in a city will make it great. Blessings will make it great. But the evil things people say, the things that people say, I underlined that and I italicized it. The things that people say can destroy it. Right there. So we have a responsibility to make sure that our heart is continually yielded to the Lord, and that we're asking him, Lord, I love the song tonight, fill me with your heart. You know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, when the Bible is talking about the heart, it's not necessarily talking about the organ that pumps your blood, okay? To some degree it is. Stay with me. I'm going to give you some science right now. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the seat of your emotions, the deepest place of your soul, and that is your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is driving everything that the mind is actually thinking and saying. What is meditated upon in the conscious mind, so you see something. Let's say I see Jackie, and Jackie's on my nerve. Jackie never gets on my nerve. Yeah, but let's just say Jackie's on my nerve. And all of a sudden, the enemy starts planning some kind of thought, or I don't deal with the frustration, and I don't just immediately say, I release love upon her. I don't know where that's coming from. Maybe it's some brokenness in her, but I release that love. And if I don't do that, what happens is, and I let the frustration build, and I keep it here in my mind. Now I'm meditating on it. Now I'm thinking about it. And it's here. It's in my mind. If I don't deal with it in my mind, it goes into my heart. The subconscious mind retains it and stores it. Now it's there. It didn't get forgiven when it was here, when I was thinking about it. And now it goes back in the heart. Once it gets back in there, now we pull from that. Even when we're not thinking about it, it becomes a memory and it goes back down in there. Now, what happens is whatever's in there in abundance that didn't get dealt with at the conscious level, at the cognitive level, now it's in the heart. And then what happens is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. That's where it says. It doesn't say out of the abundance of the mind, does it? It says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Jesus was saying, if you can just make the heart pure, then out of it will come living water. Out of it will come life. Out of it will come blessing. This is why we have to be intentional. And that's why Paul said, take every thought captive. If it doesn't align with God's word, take it captive. But many times we're bothered and we just stay bothered and we just let it stay there and we go to bed with it. And now it got planted in our heart. Well, what happens the next morning? You recall it back up to your conscious mind, right? Because it's in there. It got stored in there, deposited in there like a bank. The more you live in an area where you have people that are railing on your city and degrading your city and degrading the inhabitants of your city. And I'm dealing with the city tonight, but it's also family members. Sometimes it just takes one person to say, yeah, I know they, you know, there's a lot of things about that individual that aren't right. But let's not walk around saying, oh, they're just not right. They're just not right. Ooh, here comes not right. Here comes trouble. Here comes, you know, and we label people. How are they ever going to become right if all we do is continue to speak how wrong they are and we polarize that and we make that their identity? I'm so glad that someone started speaking right about me in my life before I ever became right. You got to speak right even when they are acting wrong. I have a dear friend, and I would always tell her son, who is completely delivered from drug addiction and alcoholism now. He's a world changer. And he was on death's door and suicidal, and I just looked him in the eyes, and I said, you know what? God has already showed me the end, and it's good. And you're whole, and you're free, and you're completely on fire for God, and you don't look sick anymore. And I've already seen it. And I won't settle for anything else. You're a champion. And this season is temporary. And your flesh is going to get in alignment with who God says you are. In the name of Jesus. And he would just look at me like, Pastor Verna, you're the only one that believes it. I don't even believe it. I said, well, use my faith then right now. Grab a hold of what I'm saying. Because I believe what God has already shown me. And I refuse to speak anything else over you. Everybody's in up in arms about how he's behaving and all of that. Well, it's sad when our family members are acting all kinds of crazy. But we have to learn to speak right over our children because our children are growing up in this city. We need to learn to speak right over our husband because our children are looking at their dads and their aunties and their uncles. And look, if we don't speak life over them, the enemy is right there going to use our tongue to speak death over them. And there's power in our words. James said this, James 3, 1 through 12 in the Passion Translation, the power of your words. My dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. Well, that right there keeps me right. And when I'm not right, I repent. Because I know that God is holding me to a higher standard. And that matters. It's got to matter. I can't just go off and start saying any old thing I want to say and doing whatever I want to do. And I've made terrible mistakes in this area. We all have. But we can't keep making mistakes and saying, oh, my bad, well, I'm having a day and, you know, I'm having a flesh flash. We have flesh flashes. But God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to get our flesh under subjection where these things are not common. They're not the norm. Yes? And so he says we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. Think about that. Getting control of your mouth gives you power to control yourself in any other way. I wonder how many people are bound with addiction and all of these other things because they've never learned to get their mouth under control. There's something about getting the mouth under control that brings a government and governing to every other area of your life. And he says, and that means our character is mature and fully developed. I remember the associate pastor of Calvary Temple at the time, it's now the house, his wife was doing a session at a women's event one time, and I was doing worship for it. And she said something, and it just stayed with me. It never left me. She said, I knew I had become a mature Christian when I didn't say what I thought. When I no longer had to say what I thought. You know, you could think something and not say it. And many people should do so. Just because you think it doesn't mean it needs to be said. James goes on and he says, horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships, though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. So this little tiny thing can steer this big ship. And verse 5 says, and so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. And if you look at the footnote there, it says dominion. The tongue carries great dominion. I've seen people so broken and so dominated by someone with a tongue. Someone said something. I've seen big, burly guys that couldn't do anything with their life. Strong physically, big, but completely broken because of someone's tongue. Fearful, unable to move forward with their life. Broken from the inside out. Physical strength does not equate to inner strength. Yeah? And so our tongue is so important, and God is calling us in this season to evaluate how we are using it. And with social media, it's even worse because we can make videos when we haven't prayed. Somebody's laughing. We're just feeling a certain way. And we could just make videos and just throw them up and make complete fools of ourselves, and bring reproach. I'm talking to my mature family tonight. Bring reproach to the name of our Lord. And people look at us and say, you attend that church, and this is what you're doing on video, and this is what you want to put out as a representation of who you are. And we can write sitting in our little missile canisters at home, in our bedrooms or our bathrooms or wherever we're at. Everybody is an author. We can author anything we want. And in seconds, it's gone around the world. Some people's stupidity has gone viral. It is a virus. But I'm telling you that we are ambassadors of heaven. And we must stop and think about who we represent. It's not just us sitting in the privacy of our home having a meltdown and we just want the whole world to know how mad we are or how stupid we are, how drunk we are, how stoned we are, how whatever we are. I'm talking about blessing it. What is it? Our nation, our family, the body of Christ, the city, the region, ourselves. Because what we say has such great impact. Now, he goes on to say, we have this thing in our mouth and it has such dominion. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. We saw that this last year or so. Whole cities in California wiped off the map. Families devastated. People who had lived there for decades lost their homes. And such pain that followed. And this is what happens when we do not censor what we say. In verse 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness, of wrongdoing, and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body. And in the footnote, it says there, could also mean the body of believers or local church. How many of you, and you don't even have to raise your hands or nod at me, but you can answer this question within your heart, have seen viable ministries that at one time were thriving and they were being a blessing and they were doing good works and a few people got together in demonic agreement with their mouth and started talking about their leadership. Guess what? Your leadership has flaws. You get close enough to me and you're going to see mine. If I get close enough to you, I'm going to see yours. We are human beings who need the grace of God every single day. Our leaders need prayer. They need prayer. They don't need more criticism. They don't need more curses. Your leaders need your blessing. Your leaders need prayer. They need people that know how to go in and pray solutions and not just talk about problems with other people. You know, many families get around the table and then everybody's fighting about politics or everybody's fighting about religion or everybody's fighting about what somebody else is doing within the family. But very few families call a timeout and say, let's pray about this. And even in prophetic circles these days, people will prophesy problems instead of solutions. You know, we don't need more doom and gloom prophets that stand up and prophesy judgment on a world when it says in the Bible right there in John 3:17 that God did not come to judge and condemn the world. He is in the world making the world right with him, that he came to save them. Judgment will come one day, but God is not releasing judgment right now. The wrath of God, the punishment that was supposed to be on sinners, was put on Jesus. We live in a dispensation of grace, and right now God is expecting his church to rise up and to begin to use the mouth that they have, not to condemn sinners and judge cities and judge people who are living in sin, but start to release the righteousness of God, the holiness of God upon these people. So, the tongue can release a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. Think about that. Human existence. Something you say right now, if some intercessor who has the dominion and power of God does not reverse those word curses and tear them down in the authority and the power of Jesus, can set a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. Think how long word curses can hang out in a family and attach itself to another generation. Think about the things that were said by your ancestors in anger or drunkenness or whatever. And as a child, you wrestle with these things and you don't even know why, because of the words that were attached to you because of the people in your family that had power and dominion in your lineage. When I started learning that I could clean up everything that had been said to and through my ancestors to me, and I could just relish and bathe in what the Lord says about me, and I could begin to speak those things over my family. Think about that. If my tongue can set a fire that will go on through the human existence, then all my righteous speech, the word of God can start a holy fire, not a demonic fire, that will burn throughout the course of human existence for my generations to follow. I love that. The footnote there says, through successive generations rolling on like wheels, it just rolls on. It just rolls on and on and on and on. And I'm about to wrap this up. Think about how powerful your words are. He goes on in verse 7 and says, for every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It is a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to praise God our Father and then turn around and curse a person who was made in his very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise one minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree or go pick figs from a grapevine? Is it possible that fresh and bitter water can flow out of the same spring? So neither can a bitter spring produce fresh water. What does that mean? You're not going to get love if your heart is bitter. You're not going to get blessing if your spring has become contaminated with bitterness. Here's the good news. God can purify anybody's heart. Out of your heart can start to spring new things. I don't know what's going on in your life or how you feel about leadership right now within not just Soul Harvest, but other churches or even our nation, and it's most specifically in the political arena. I want to encourage you tonight as I bring this to a close, and this is not in the notes, but in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, it says this, I urge you, this is Paul writing to Timothy, pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. It doesn't just say some people that you like. It says all people. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. And I've learned this. When we pray for our leaders, we take part in advancing God's kingdom on the earth. And here are some of the ways you can pray for those in leadership that can impact God's influence on the earth. Pray for their salvation. Pray for a heart change. You may not agree with everything they're doing, but I mean, I have been praying just as fervently for our new administration as I did for our previous one. God, change their hearts where it needs to be changed. For those that are not radically saved, save their soul. We can also pray for wisdom in making good decisions according to God's leading. Pray that they would hear the voice of God. Pray that their decisions and influence will have a positive impact on our families, on cities, churches, laws, schools, and more. Look, there are laws, ungodly laws, that are being passed. We can't just assume that all leadership is evil and toxic and that they cannot reverse evil laws. You know, many things have been reversed over the course of history. But if we continue to say it's just getting worse and worse out there, it's just getting worse and worse out there, and we're just expecting a voice or two to arise in the political arena that's going to have a godly, standard, that's great. We should pray them into existence. But we shouldn't give up on those that are currently in leadership. You know that it says that God specifically puts people in leadership. And sometimes you don't know. God could have that person there for a specific person. Purpose. You know that God raised up Pharaoh for a specific purpose? And so all leadership is ordained by God. And you say, why would God allow an ungodly leader to be over us? God always has a purpose. Pharaoh's purpose was so that the people of God would become so miserable under his leadership that they would be willing to pack up their families and leave. You know, you can be in a very bad situation with bad leadership, but they feed you just enough to keep you alive and keep you comfortable, and it's dysfunctional, and you're a slave, and you can be in fear of what's over there on the other side of the wilderness, and you'll just stay there. And as long as leadership is palatable and you do not feel the force of the dictatorship and the harm and the evil that they perpetuate, most likely you won't change. until things become so bad in its current state that you can't take it anymore, and what's on the horizon starts to look better and greater than the fear you have of leaving your current situation, you generally won't make a move. God has a purpose, even when ungodly leaders are in administration. But we cannot neglect to bless them, to pray for them. It doesn't mean that we agree with everything that they do. Amen? I want to end on this tonight because the Lord's worship team, you can join me. The Lord had given me this word. He said, some of you have experienced great opposition and trials in the past few years because of wicked things that were said about you. Am I talking to anybody in here? He said the temptation for you to give up has been strong at times. But I put you here. Some of you, you wanted to run. You wanted to go away, but he said, I put you here. I put you there, wherever you are, where you know you've had to stay through all kinds of opposition. See, I'm speaking from experience because this was for me too. When God calls you to a place, it's hard to hear the kind of stuff that gets said about you. We hurt. That old adage, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's hogwash. Words are the most painful thing. A bruise will be black and blue for a little while, but then it disappears. But the wounds from words can last a lifetime and throughout human existence, unless it's dealt with. The Lord said this, I gave you the assignment to take your territory for my kingdom. Some people blew out like chaff when the winds of adversity came. They left, but their words remained. He said, you have fought to forgive and to stay in unity with me and my purpose. Good job. He said, I'm aligning you in this season with others of like heart and mind. And there's going to be a blessing. The commanded blessing is upon you and the region that I called you to. And I'm bringing greater unity than you've ever seen before. Psalm 133 says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And when you look at that, there's a footnote there. And the passion. And it's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. Tribes, plural. You know that we haven't seen the kind of unity that we can. Why? Because tribes are all different. Sometimes within families, you get four siblings and they grow up and you're all family, but your households are different. Your tribe is different. And it's sometimes our differences that cause the greatest frustrations. But David is saying here how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together. In other words, when we remain in the regions that God has called us to, and we dwell together with all of our differences in unity. It doesn't mean conformity. But we unify around what? The Lord. And there it says at the place of unity, the anointing begins to flow. It flows down the head, the priesthood, on all of the garments, all the way to the land. God is wanting us in this season to check where we have been dismembered or disjointed or whatever, and to look at our city and our region and stop picking on each other because of differences. We also need to rise up and use this powerful tongue that has such great dominion to speak blessing. Where we have felt defeated or we feel like, wow, I've been praying for that individual for a long time and they seem so adversarial in nature. They don't appear to be making any progress, listen, there's some tough nuts to crack in some of our families, in our churches, and in our region. We should not give up in speaking well, because there will come a time when everything we've said will bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Stand to your feet. Father, I pray blessing. I speak blessing over every person that came out tonight and heard this message. I pray that they would, everyone, have made the decision to receive you as Lord and Savior. Paul said, the word is near you. What? The word of salvation. It's near you. Where is it? It's in your mouth. The word of salvation, that word salvation means sozo, the word of wholeness, the word of healing, the word of completeness, the word of eternal life. It's all where? In your mouth. He said, it's not far off. It's not up there in the sky somewhere. It's not over at that other church. It's not over there in a book. Everything you need for wholeness, everything you need for eternal life, everything you need for blessing, everything you need for prosperity, where is it? He says, it's near you. It's in your, somebody say it. God puts it in your heart first, in your subconscious mind. He drops it back in your spirit. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth can speak. You can't even receive Jesus unless the word penetrated from your mind, because you can't just get saved with head knowledge. It goes, how many of you have been in there? You heard sermons and it was in your head, it was in your head, and then all of a sudden something lit up in your heart. He says, the word of wholeness, of life, of salvation, of prosperity, everything that you need is in your heart and in your mouth. So what do you want? If you want it, you better start saying it. You better start saying it, and you better keep saying it, and you better, you know, believe what you say, especially when it aligns with the word. What on earth are you saying? You better start saying those children are serving God. Those children are receiving Jesus. Those children, those family members, they're delivered, they're healed, they're whole, they're set free. I don't care what I see. I don't care what kind of example is being set. This is what I'm saying. And I am setting wheels in motion right now that will go on through the course of human existence. I have the power as a person with God's authority to speak salvation, not only for my household, but for the generations to come. Receive him now. Say, Lord Jesus, salvation has come to this house right now. It's in my heart and it's in my mouth. I declare you are my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sins. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, say, my family is blessed. My family is saved. My family is prosperous. My city is turning around. It's becoming more beautiful, more prosperous than it's ever been before, more filled with God's glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.